here to find the spot for basketball. Okay, so we got. as a song about God's protection. And so it was meant to be picked out and sung by the Davis community to reinforce the truth that abiding with God and who He is, being close to Him, is a safe place. That He is protecting God's people. And that when we draw close to Him, He will protect us. The song is a song of God's protection to those who love and trust God. The message of this song is supposed to encourage the believer by recalling how God has protected them, leading ultimately to eternal protection. So we're seeing this song about those promises God makes for believers. And ultimately, we're going to see how this is going to be a song that points to God's faithfulness of how He has protected His people through the ages and has protected you in your life. So this is how this song functions in the believing community. So this is your song maybe after the believing group of believers in God went through something difficult and God started to do that. This song, you sing it together to remember that God is a safe place and He is the one who wants to protect His people. So one of open up to Psalm 91. And throughout this psalm, the bottom line we want to remember, when we talk about God's fighting, it's a topic for the series that we do occasionally through our prayer to go through the book of Psalms, and God's fighting. And so as we go through this psalm, my encouragement to you is to remember how He has protected you so far in this life. So that should ultimately point to His ultimate protection of your soul for eternity. Really, this psalm has four different sections. Four different sections of this psalm. And we can walk through this psalm looking at those four different sections. The first one is the first verse, which is the invitation to all. The invitation to all. If you don't have your Bible, there is one in the pew in front of you, or we'll have it up here on the screen, or you can go on your phone and buy one. The first book on reads, "Who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." So we see it in the invitation to all by that word, whoever. It's an open statement to everyone who hears this song, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High, will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Now, when we read our Bible, one of the things that we want to look for is repetition. Repeating these words or scenes within a passage or a verse show what is important and what we should be focusing on. But in this verse, we see a name of God used twice. In one verse, we see God's name used twice, last time, six times. And we see that these names of God tell us something about His character. The first one we see is the English version says Most High, in Hebrew is Elyon. And the Hebrew word Elyon means supreme authority. This is a God who has supreme authority. The next title given to God is the Almighty, or in Hebrew, El Shaddai, which means supreme power. So, right off the bat in verse 1, we see the character and nature of God displayed in this verse, that He is a God who is supreme in authority and supreme in power. And so, because of that, how does God use His supreme authority and supreme power? Many of us, if you were here, when you were in the supreme authority and power, we probably use it in not so good ways. We know people throughout history have used supreme power and authority to oppress others, to seek their own good, to bring terror to people, and to bring death to people. So who is this God, the supreme authority, the supreme power of all creation? But we see He is someone who is safe. We see that He invites whoever would decide to come close to Him. As some as a refuge of safety the dwelling of rest. The son of his father at the same time is begging Paul, "Come to come close to me. I won't hurt you. I'm not going to push you away. I want you close to me. And as you draw close to me, I will protect you." So this word that we see two words here, and this is word dwell, or abide, or rest, depending on what version you're using. But the dwell in the shelter of your heart, the dwell in the shadow, or rest in the shadow. Again, these two words are similar in theme. This idea of being close to God, living with God. What do we mean to dwell with God? As we see the psalms and even the imagery and metaphor through the psalm, what do we mean to abide, to dwell with Him? Now, we know what that means in eternity, what we will be with God. What do we mean to hear in the earth? To be on earth and to live with God. Well, we see this in the next phase of this psalm, in Psalm chapter 91, verse 2. The author's response. Now, whoever's writing this psalm, Psalm 32 is David or Moses. Whoever's writing this, has his response to the invitation. So, verse 2 says, "I say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." So, the author says, "I want to take him up on an invitation. And I have taken him up on an invitation. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust." This word trust shows us how this metaphor, this concept of living with God here on earth plays out in practical ways. So we should trust Him. When we trust God, we move closer to Him. And when you trust someone or something, you inherently move closer to that person or that thing. Right? So if I trust this kid, he's going to hold me, I'm going to sit on it. If I didn't trust it, I would better. No, I'm going to sit away from this thing for a little bit. I'm going to move away from it. If you trust a person and you're going through a hard time, you reach out to them. You move closer to them. If you don't trust that person, they aren't getting the phone call you text. So trust moves us closer to a person or thing. And this author says, "I trust in the Lord, and that is me abiding in Him. I move closer to Him." And this is the foundation of understanding of what it means to live near and with God in this way. So what we need to trust in His ways instead of our own. We want things that are pushing and pulling our life to where our trust to. There is a trust in money and in material possessions. And that means a trust in wealth. But that is through it, I'm going to have safety and security. There is trust that the world is pushing us to in relationships. I need to have a boyfriend, a girlfriend. I need to get married. I need to find human love in order to have fulfillment and satisfaction. It is trust in our human relationships, ultimately, for happiness, for satisfaction. We trust in fame, in fortune, that has already become Instagram famous or TikTok famous, that my life then means something. But God says, trust in my ways. And how do we find out about His ways? We read His Word. We trust this book. We trust His Word over and against what our human nature tells us and what our culture tells us is the way to life. It is the thing to trust. So as we read this, we are drawn to trusting in what this says. So when we read the Ten Commandments, we go like, "Do not steal. Do not steal. Do not commit murder." We read these things. Okay, that sounds kind of harsh. Okay, I'm not going to murder someone. I'm not going to steal someone. I'm not going to steal anything. But these things start to come into our mind in anger. Right? We may not murder someone, but we are angry at people. And Jesus says, if you say to your brother or sister that you are a fool or you are angry at them, that it is right, you murder them.
And so, being that the Word of God stands out in the light of course, fights against our human nature. We don't want to trust it implicitly. We think that we know better. And we say, okay, I'm not going to cheat, I'm not going to lie, but I'm taking this test right now in school and I need to pass it, so I'll just go to school. He says, trust my ways, and I will keep you safe. And that is the next section that this goes into. This is kind of like a testimony of the answer is running out. Verses 3 to 8. In 3 to 8, it's probably the same section here. This is the same response. This is the author of the psalm saying, simply, hey, I have experienced God. I live close to God, and He protects me. He's done this for me. He can do it for you. In Psalm 91, verses 3 to 4, so surely He will save you from the fire snare, and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. And here we see that this is a song, and as songs are, they are communicating spiritual truths and truths in general in not poetic ways. So, you look at here, you see the first line of this, and say, you're saying from the fire snare. I don't look at someone, where's the funnel? Where's the funnel? I've never heard of a funnel or a funnel. I've never heard of a funnel or a funnel. I've heard of a thing for a long time that people would craft books with nuts or take a bait to try to lure them in. And it's funnel. I don't think it's a good thing. If someone reads that 2,000 years from now, they say, this is going to be a color ball. I don't know. His temptation for believers. The way that He tries to draw us away from God and trap us in temptation and trap us in sin. So He will save us from the schemes of Satan, from spiritual warfare, and from deadly testimony. So here we have a little bit of a balance to spiritual warfare. Because here it's hard to really see that this is totally spiritual in nature, because it is a friend to the world with it. And so there's probably a little bit of both, so we need a little bit more towards physical, right? So He saves us from disease. And so we say, hey, I will save you from spiritual and physical. And it's a whole, from the whole life and physically, He's protecting our whole life. As we draw close to Him, as you're close to God. And He will cover you with His feathers and under His wings. You will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. And so we've seen some of this imagery, and we'll see this imagery more after we've seen it already. So He will cover you with His feathers and under His wings, you will find refuge. What is His feathers? What is His wings? What is that imagery pointing to in this life? Well, again, the author gives us that answer. Says, His faithfulness. His faithfulness is your shield. It is His feathers. It is His wings that you come under and are protected. Now, His faithfulness points to us looking back at what God has done. And yet, tonight, this is a strong way to remind us of the ways God has protected us. And so we look back at His faithfulness in our lives. And would encourage you now, think back to moments where God has protected you either spiritually, through guiding you out of darkness into light, and in some of your Son Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, and he led you from dark ways and confusing ways to truth and to light. And your life now got a completely different path. And remember those times that God was faithful to you. Remember those times where you had an illness, or where something happened to you physically that God then saved you from. His faithfulness strengthens us. His faithfulness reminds us of his character and nature. And he's a God who is a God who wants to protect us. And his faithfulness is what reminds us of that. Because oftentimes we look to the Greek and say, oh, well, you know, we can't do that. Once we start moving away, we don't trust God anymore. The strength of our trust in him, what moves us in abiding in him and dwelling with him and living with him, is remembering his faithfulness on your life now. And as you remember that, it moves us closer to trusting God. And so let's continue in this passage. But it says in verse 5 and verse 6, you will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that strikes in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. Now, a lot of this imagery here is referring to things that struck me out of nowhere, the suddenness of things that can happen in life. You live life long enough, you know, you're looking to be going along fine, and all of a sudden something happens, and you find yourself 2 days later in a much different spot in life than you were thinking. These things play out a lot of people, right? These fears that we have of you know, hear someone like that with cancer, and you're like, oh, my God, it's 50 something years old, and how can you do something? Or you hear that of a car accident that happened on 422 or Route 100. You see people who maybe getting fired in your workplace or a layoff happening, and I could be out of them. These fears start to control the believer. They can start to cripple the believer's confidence and boldness to live their life in faith in God. And so, as you remember his faithfulness, it just diminish the fear that you have about these things in life. And then verses 7 and 8, for the 1,000 you fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near to you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. As you live close to God, as you live closer to him, you will start to see other people making wrong decisions. They start to fall off the wayside, and you're not hanging on with them that much anymore because they're making certain decisions. Maybe because you stay on the straight and narrow, and you're watching maybe the fun things that other people are doing, or taking the chances that maybe other people were doing, and you go, man, am I really being correct here, walking with Christ? Am I really doing the right thing by following his word? And when years go by, you can see how their lives went. And you say, wow, I'm still standing. My life is flourishing and it's close to God. And he is blessing me. He is faithfulness upon my life. These are the blessings that come from abiding with God. And so, this author who's writing this song shares it with the people singing. And in the next phase of this song, it is offered the invitation to the singer. It's a personal invitation. Because you say, the Lord is my refuge, and this is the son. Right? This is the author saying, this is the strength that I've accepted in my life, and now it's offered to you. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. so now the invitation is called out to people who are singing, to the congregants, to anybody who is coming in contact with this song. And so it holds out a question: are you going to make God your God? Are you going to trust Him? Are you going to look and see His faithfulness on your life? Are you going to dwell with Him? Now, the next section is an important section. It's speaking to refine the understanding of this chapter, which is Psalm 11 through 13. So, for he will command his angels concerning you to guide you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra, and you will trample the great lion, the serpent. If we read our Bibles, we're familiar with the Gospels. This is a passage that's quoted by Satan. Jesus was out in the wilderness. He was being tempted, and Satan took him to the top of the temple. And in Matthew chapter 4, it says, "And the devil took him to the holy city, and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. He says, 'If you are the Son of God,' he says, 'throw yourself down, for it is written, He will command the angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against the stone.'" So this is a great example of how this psalm and this understanding that we've seen in this psalm can be misused. Right? Because it seems like the promise being made here is, hey, if you believe in God, God is going to work. There's no harm that is ever going to happen. You're not going to go through anything hard in life. You're never going to get sick. You're always going to be healed. You'll never experience anything. And you'll have a great month together. And first, preachers and teachers teach that. Looking at some YouTube videos this week of very sad preachers. And I'm like, well, let's see the other side jokes here about this psalm. And they seem to preach mainly funny. You can say, God, you're my God, and just pray for, everything to happen, and just say here what God's going to do. You're intended, you're not worried. You'll never experience sickness or hardship. And it's important also that this section of scripture is kind of right after the invitation to new believers. Because when you come to Christ, or new believers, many think so. So they think, hey, I believe in Jesus, God's in my family, and I believe in His grace. And so here we see that scripture is showing us that, hold on, one second, right? And that is the full scope of scripture. If we know scripture, and we know the Bible, we can look over and over and over again to believers who went through hardship, that experienced sickness, because he was Job. Right? One of the oldest stories in the Bible is from God's sickness, so his family was taken away from him. He went through a tremendous hardship. We think there's plenty of people in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, that are Christians who are martyrs for their faith. But you just can't think that, oh, because I believe in God, I just double around me, and I think there was a problem. Because Jesus said, Jesus answered him, "The rest of it, and do not put the Lord God to the test." So just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you can't go away and see that. That is a misunderstanding of reflecting this specific psalm about God's protection and looking at how He has protected us in the past and say, always and forever, I'm going to live a great life. So, as Christians, we need to be careful about that. And we see that in this next section that yes, God does heal us physically sometimes. It's great when people are sick, but God heals us. And we hope that He answers yes. Sometimes He going through spiritual struggles. He's praying that, God would bring them back to him. And that their unbelievers, their eyes would be opened up to see Jesus. And we hope that God does it. And so you see here in this next section of the passage, we see that for he will command you concerning your God, concerning you, to guard you on your ways, that he will lift you up in your hand, so you will not strike your foot against the stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra, and you will trample the great lion and the serpent. Here we see the first sentence, that you will tread on the lion and the cobra, and you will trample the great lion and the serpent. You see almost a hint and a glimmer of the resurrection of Jesus. It is this theory that we call it in Christ. That even though we go through hardship, even though we go through these hard things in life, no matter what we go through, God's love and his presence will always be with us. And that is how we trample the lion. That is how we trample the cobra. That is how we defeat the enemy. And we do not give these things the power that they think they have. And ultimately, we come to the last section of this psalm, which is God's response to the believer. So, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he knows my name. He will call me, and I will answer. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. There are three promises of God here to the believer. And the believer that will cover every aspect of the believer's life. We see this. He has protected us, and he can protect us in the future. He is a God who sees all of us and has his hand on our lives as Christians. But also says he will be with us through times of trouble. I will never do trouble, but as he goes through hardship, even if he doesn't save us from that, there's a physical ailment, a hardship, but it doesn't go the way that we think it will go. The love of God that lives within the Christian never leaves. His presence never leaves. And we see here that the last part of what it means to abide in God is that this relationship says to the believer, because he loves me, God sees abiding with him as trusting him and living with him. But because he loves me, he dwells with me. He abides with me. He is close to me because he loves me. With his heart, with his mind. His heart is wants to grow in his desire and his knowledge of God. And because he loves me, as he abides with me, he lives with me. And he does rescue us. Sometimes literally. Sometimes he rescues us from things that we didn't really know we needed rescuing from. And when we don't get the job, because we need to do some hard work inside of us. Maybe we have a hard time financially because we need to grow in our trusting of God's provision. Maybe as we go through the sickness, we are reminded that God has healed us of our sin and sickness. And so here we see that the God who is almighty, all powerful, does these things in our life. He protects us. But ultimately, in the last line of the psalm says, I will show him my salvation. These things that God does, he has done for our lives. The protection he offers and gives us. We want to look at these things and say, this is it. But God is real because he heals me. That does not where it ends. God protects us and then wants us to see the that he saved our souls for eternity. And we will see his salvation, his full salvation of our soul. At some point, we will pass away. But that God's will of protection will fall away and we will die. So the way that he has protected us from things in our life should point us to the greater salvation, the greater protection for all of eternity. That we should be with him, to dwell with God forever, to be saved from our sin, to be saved from hell, and to live fully in the life and love of God. And that is ultimately what God is trying to do in our life when he protects us. He wants us to see his heart for our soul, and he wants to dwell with us forever in eternity. And that is offered through his Son, Jesus Christ. God sent his Son to die on the cross for you and for me. If you're here today and you've seen God's hand of protection, I would like to encourage you to take the next step today to believe in Jesus, to make him your personal Lord and Savior. If you already believe in Jesus, and you believe in Jesus, may this strengthen your understanding of his care and protection on your life. May strengthen your understanding of who this God is, this almighty, this all-powerful God, that he wants to be close to you, he desires you to trust him, to love him, and to remind and to remember his faithfulness on your life.